Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2, and we've been looking at verse number 17, which says, "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time, in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire." And we've been looking at this issue of where the Apostle Paul is speaking to this assembly in Thessalonica, talking about how he was working to be able to see them again, and how it's now even talked about this idea of this work that they're doing, calling it endeavored the more abundantly. And this is how this work that he's doing to try to actually accomplish this, he's identifying it and talking about how it's an abundant work that's going to be going on. And this is how, when we talk about the things of the grace of God, we see this phrase being used to describe that. If we go over to the book of Romans, we'll go to Romans chapter number 5 for a moment to see what the Apostle Paul is going to say about the grace of God here in Romans chapter number 5. And here we're going to read verses 20 and 21, which say, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." And so we see Paul here talk about how it's grace abounding, and how, you know, sin may have abounded for a period of time, but now that the law has been taken away and sin has been dealt with, the grace is what is abounding. And how this is, as Paul's describing things in this dispensation, we see the issue of that even though he's doing works, this is not for salvation, but he's working in order to be able to continue to share this message and demonstrate some things related to what the grace of God, which would actually say. Now, individuals would say, look at how, and talk about that the law was able to produce some of these same things, and looking at it from, well, see, the law would produce good works, but it's the motivation behind those things which caused the problem. Because under the law system, the motivation to be doing the right thing was never out of love. The motivation to do things under the law came from the fear of what would happen if an individual did the wrong thing. Because if they did not do all of those good works, they would end up having the chastisement, the punishment come upon them, and that motivation would be, I don't want to face those things, I fear that, so I'm going to make sure that I'm going to do the right thing out of that fear. And that's why you see how even in the book of Proverbs, when it talks about that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, because that fear is what's actually getting someone to walk right, to do the quote-unquote right thing in the eyes of God. Now, in the dispensation of the grace of God, an individual is not motivated by fear. The moment someone puts their trust in the gospel message for today, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and a person putting their trust in that and that alone for their salvation, the moment that occurs, they're saved. And the issue is that it's not fear that's going to motivate someone to do something. It's that love that has been demonstrated for us. The love that Christ had for mankind that we see as long as we're here in the book of Romans in chapter number 5. We're going to read here starting from verse 8 and go down through verse number 11. It says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." And we see how Paul here in this chapter is identifying the fact that it's the love that's actually providing the motivation that's of what it is that we are supposed to be doing. And with that love motivation happening, that's what's going to cause these things to actually be abundant, the abundant functioning of the members of the body of Christ. And we see how Paul describes what it is that the members of the body of Christ are supposed to do when we go over and look at passages like, for example, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. And we'll see here Paul describing what the will of God actually is here in 1 Timothy chapter number 2 verse 4 when it says, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." Now that's what God's will is, that all of mankind would be saved and that all of mankind would come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now, we see how that's the will of God. And the Apostle Paul actually talks about how he had a role in this and what his responsibility was to ensure that this was actually going to happen, you know, by everything that he could possibly do to try to have it occur. If we go over to Ephesians chapter number 3, we'll see how Paul's going to describe the responsibility that he has. And as we read these verses, we're going to see how these tie in with what he described as being the will of God here. And in Ephesians chapter number 3, we're going to read here verses 8 and 9, which say, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." And we see as Paul is describing this responsibility that he has, and you see in verse number 9, how he describes it, it says, "To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery." Now, the only way to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery would be to accomplish the goal of the will of God, which is that all men would be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. If that occurs, then all men are going to see the fellowship of the mystery. That's why you see how Paul describes over in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 5, when he calls us ambassadors for Christ, that we're his representatives here on earth to be able to share this message. He talks about how what's committed unto us is the ministry of reconciliation, to be able to restore that fellowship between God and man, so that way the accomplishment of having all men to be saved actually happening. And as part of that fellowship, also having the issue of individuals coming unto the knowledge of the truth, having that understanding of what the Word of God rightly divided says for an individual today. Now, as Paul's describing these things and talks about the issues of the responsibilities of what it is that we are supposed to be doing here, he also describes something. If we go over to Galatians chapter number 6 for a moment to read a passage here that Paul's going to give us about our relationship with other individuals here. And in Galatians chapter number 6, I want to read here verse number 10, which says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Now, if we're doing this, it's going to have to tie in with that issue of doing things more abundantly in order to be able to have this thing of these opportunities to do good unto all individuals. And then as Paul describes this, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. We're supposed to be doing good unto all individuals, but especially making sure that we're demonstrating this love, this care for individuals with the fellow members of the body of Christ. The individuals who have joined up with us by the fact that they have put their trust in the same gospel message and have become part of that body, that we are supposed to have a special care for these individuals because we're part of the same family. Those terms that you see Paul describing the members of the body of Christ in that manner, and he uses those family terms over and over again in his epistles to describe the members of the body of Christ. You see how Paul describes these things, the effort that we're supposed to be putting into these things. If we go over to Romans chapter number 12 for a moment here, we're going to see here in this chapter in the book of Romans, you start to see Paul laying out some practical information that based on the fact that the person who has read through up to this point in the book of Romans, they've understood their justification, they've understood their sanctification, they've understood the setting apart of the nation of Israel and how God is no longer dealing with them at this time, and how Paul starts shifting here in chapter number 12 of the book of Romans to start talking about some very practical things about how it is that we are to be living our life. And I want to look here at one verse in particular here. We're going to look at in Romans chapter number 12, verse number 11, which says, "Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." So it is describing the effort that individuals are supposed to be putting out, doing things for God. He uses that phrase, it says, "not slothful in business." Now, if you've ever seen a sloth, you see how it's an animal that really doesn't do a whole lot other than just kind of laying around. You know, another term that we would use to kind of describe the idea of being slothful would be lazy. You know, to not be lazy, but we're to be actually putting in some hard work, doing these things, demonstrating this care, and as he's describing, calling it serving the Lord. Now, in that effort that we're to be putting out, you know, we even see that is described, if we go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 2, you see how Paul uses that term to be describing the things of our study of the Word of God as well, that there's to be that kind of hard work that's going in here. In the 2 Timothy chapter number 2, we're going to read here verse number 15, and it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That there's a, as he calls it, there being a workman, that that's the responsibility that we have as the members of the body of Christ, to be doing these things that we're to be doing this work. He doesn't call it, it's going to be easy. And, you know, sometimes people think that, you know, studying the Word of God is something that's easy. And it takes a lot of work to be able to understand the things of the Word of God. You know, we have to, you know, be putting a lot of effort in. We put a, you know, the, all sorts of study in, so that way the Spirit can communicate those things, comparing the spiritual things with spiritual, so that way we have that understanding. Because without that information inside of us, there's nothing for the Spirit to actually be able to compare things to, and we're not going to be getting the insight into those things. You see how Paul, in this epistle that he writes to Timothy, the last piece of the Word of God that's recorded, you see how he describes things related to this work. If we go a little bit farther up in chapter number 2, then we're going to see how there's going to be these terms that are going to be used that are going to actually describe all sorts of things related to work. We're going to start at verse number 1 of 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And we're going to eventually get down through verse number 6 as we're looking at these examples here. But 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 1 says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So as we see from these first two verses here of how Paul is telling Timothy that he's going to need to take the information that he has received from the Apostle Paul, and he's going to have to be giving this to other individuals for the express purpose that they're going to go out and be able to share this information with other people as well. The continuation of the message of this dispensation, and the only way that that happens is by each generation making the effort, doing the work to be able to commit this information to other individuals. That part of helping individuals to come unto the knowledge of the truth, that's the responsibility that the Apostle Paul gives to Timothy, and that also becomes part of the responsibility that we, as the members of the body of Christ, have as well. And as Paul continues on in this chapter, he's going to be giving some very specific examples. We're going to look now, we're going to pick up in verse number 3. It says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." So the first example that the Apostle Paul gives here related to this idea of doing this hard work, and it's going to be some labor that's going to have to go on, as he uses the example of a soldier. You know, someone who, you know, as part of that defense of their country, there's a lot of hard work. And it talks about, you know, it says endure hardness. You know, there's difficulty that comes about with that work that's going to be going on. You know, we see that in, you know, our, you know, military today. You know, when somebody first signs up, the first thing that happens, they go to boot camp and they spend, you know, all these days just working and working and working. And then after that, then there becomes now the specific training related to what their job is going to actually be. And sometimes that involves them having to be sent overseas. They have to, you know, put themselves into some dangerous situations. It's the hardness that comes about it, but it's work that's associated with it. You see, the next example is going to also have some, you know, hard work that's associated with it. Verse number 5, the example of the athlete here, which says, "And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." Now, the better that somebody is and the higher up that somebody goes in athletics, the more work that's actually associated with it. You know, people sometimes think that, you know, if you look at, you know, a baseball player, that they just show up at the stadium and play their game and don't think about all the hours of practice that actually has to go into actually being able to do the things of the game. You know, it's a lot of work that actually goes into it. You know, that's not something that, you know, the average person just walk up to the plate and try to hit a 90 mile an hour fastball. There's work that happens in order to actually get to the point of where you're actually going to be able to do that. You know, the next example that the Apostle Paul gives here has hard work with it as well. In verse number 6, the farmer, when it says, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. You know, any sort of, you know, farming, you know, there's the work that goes into it of, you know, the ground has to be worked. Then, you know, once the ground is fully worked, then, you know, the seed is planted. And then there's all the upkeep that has to happen of, you know, watering and making, you know, taking out the weeds and making sure that, you know, nothing is happening to actually damage the crops as they're growing. And eventually, after all of that hard work is done, then the plant actually produces the fruit that it's supposed to produce. And this doesn't just happen by someone just throwing a bunch of seeds onto the ground and walking away and going, oh, the plants are going to grow. There's all sorts of work that actually has to happen. And that's why when you see Paul talking about this idea of, you know, endeavoring more abundantly, that they were really working extremely hard to try to accomplish this task that God wanted them to do in order to be pleasing unto Him. And that's really when you look at the idea of works, where under the law they were a requirement for salvation, the works that are done, you know, we are created unto good works. And I want to go over to Ephesians chapter number 2. And we're going to look here. You know, we're going to read verses 8 through 10 here in Ephesians chapter number 2. And it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So the end result is that, as Paul's describing it here, is that we should be doing these things. God ordained, you know, before the foundation of the world, just as he talks about the things of what he ordained related to the dispensation of the grace of God, that he ordained that we should walk in these things, that we should be doing these things that are pleasing unto him, making sure that in the example that we've been talking about is that making sure that this message is going out. And as we look at, you know, what Paul's talking about specifically related to this assembly of Thessalonica about wanting to see them, that he was endeavoring more abundantly to be able to, says, to see your face, to actually be able to see them again, because he had seen them for a period of time, but he wanted to come back and see exactly what's been going on with them. And we'll look at that actually in our next broadcast here. As we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to watch our Sunday services live as they're being broadcast on Facebook. We also have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. So there's many opportunities that people have to be able to join and study with us and have some level of fellowship with us as well. And as always, if you ever have any questions, comments about anything in these broadcasts, anything you see on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.